Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, let me ask you a question to start off with today. Amen. How many of you believe we are supposed to do what God told us in His Word? Well, then let me ask you this question. Why don't we do it? Why don't we do it? I was just telling a young man here a story that happened this last week, or actually a couple of weeks ago. I said, we don't do what God says in His Word. We really don't. You know, I mean, none of us. I think about, of course, this story was about a woman, you know, that was going to have to, she was really hated to go wash her clothes. You know, had a whole bunch of clothes to wash and dry, and she was thinking about how hard this is and everything. She was telling me, you know, how hard this is and how abused she is and all this kind of stuff. And I told her, I said, ma'am, how old are you? And she said, 30. I said, okay. I said, so you have no idea what it really means to wash and dry clothes. I said, I'm 76 and I was raised up in an era when to wash clothes, my mother had to go out first and build a fire around a big pot and let the wood. Miss Jackie, you remember those days?
Yes.
You remember those days too, huh? We build a fire around the pot, let the water get hot, and we put the clothes in there, and then we do everything by hand. We wash them by hand. We wring them out by hand, and then we take them out and put them on the line and hang them up with clothespins. Oh, my goodness gracious. So I said, ma'am, what you do, when you wash clothes, you take a few clothes, sort them out, and throw them into a machine, and then push a button and go back and come back in 30 minutes later and take them out and take them over here and open the door and throw them in here and push a button and 30 minutes later come back when they're dry. I said, ma'am, you don't know what it is to wash and dry clothes. You have no idea. The rub board, yeah, the rub board. Well, I'm going to tell you what in the scripture teaches us some things, and we're going to use the NLT today, and we're going to start out in James chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. James 1, 1 through 8, and I want us in the NLT, and I want us to see what it says. Just the first 8 verses, James chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, and let's look and see what it says. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Verse 1. Okay, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various or diverse temptations. Count it all joy. We don't do that very well. If we grumble about having to put clothes in a washing machine, your grumbling level is pretty low. That's all I got to say. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations. Let's see what verse 3 says. Verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Okay. Count it all joy. Consider it all joy. So anytime you're tried and tested, let me just give you an example. I mean, I have these kind of tests all the time. So sometimes I pass them, sometimes I fail them. I think I'm kind of like you. But let me give you an idea. Let me give you an idea when it says, consider all various trials and tests pure joy. You know, are we supposed to be joyful all the time?
Yes.
Because what's God doing? He's sending adversity to build our faith, right? Mm-hmm. And is that what He's trying to make out of us, faith people? Yeah. Okay, now let me give you some examples that happened to me. Now, you probably got your own, but you'll see yourself in me, I'm sure, when I talk about this. I go to bed at night, and I sleep in a nice warm bed, and it's a really cold day like we've had lately. You know, we've had the last couple of days, of course, been nice and warm, but we've had some really cold days, mornings way down below freezing and everything. And we haven't had any snow, but we have had a little ice, not much, but a little. But anyway, so you go to bed and you crawl into that warm bed and it's all nice and warm and you want to get a good night's sleep and you even had a good supper, so you're already, you still got plenty in your tummy, so you're in good shape. Is it easy to praise the Lord for this? Thank you, Lord, for my beautiful bed. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful supper I had. And it's so easy to do that. Okay, the next morning you wake up and God says, now I'm fixing to put you to the test. So the next morning you wake up and you run to the front door and look outside to go to work. And when you get up and go in and turn the water on, the hot water heater has gone out during the night and you have no hot water. So, you know, it's still got some in it. So you jump in the shower, turn it on, get a little warm water coming, soap up just a little bit, and all of a sudden the cold water hits. And, you know, it's real easy to say, Lord, thank you for that cold water. No, that's not what we do, is it? We fuss. What happened to the hot water? Well, then you have to get out and take a rag and wipe yourself off, get the soap off of you, and everything, and didn't you have to dry off a little bit? You think, oh my goodness, I got to hurry. I get to work. I'm going to be late. And you go to the front door after you do get your clothes changed, and you go to the front door and you open the door, and you didn't watch the news last night, and it's now 4 inches of snow on the ground. You think, oh my goodness, where'd this come from? And you said, oh, I didn't know it was going to snow. So even though you had a garage, you didn't put the car in the garage because you didn't think it was going to snow. So now the car's covered with 4 inches of snow. So I know you just say, Lord, thank you for all that beautiful snow. Now I got to go scrape all that off. Is that what we do? No. So you go out there and you grumble and complain and you scrape the snow off till you can get in. And once you get in, you think, oh, now I finally got the door open and I'm in. And you stick the key in there and hit the starter. And guess what happened to your battery overnight? With all that cold. Have you ever had those kind of days? When your daughter's starter says, and it don't go no more. And so there again, you're saying, praise the Lord. Thank you for my dead battery, Lord. Thank you that I have a battery charger in the garage. I'll run in there and I'll get it. And then the garage door is all, you know, it's stuck. So you have all kinds of trouble getting the door open so you can get it up. So you get the cord out and you finally get it on and you get your charger on it. And you know how to do that. And most of us are grumbling and complaining about all this instead of saying, Lord, thank you that I have a charger. Thank you that I know how to put it on. You know, no, that's not what we're doing. We're not counting it pure joy. So anyway, we finally get the charger hooked up and we sit there and let it run for 30 or 40 minutes until it builds up. And then you try it and it starts and you say, oh, glory. Now you can praise the Lord because your car started. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so grateful that my car is running. Oh my goodness, now let it warm up for a couple of minutes. And you, while you're taking the charger off and putting the cord up and everything, the car is running. You're just so happy now all of a sudden. And you go out and jump in the car and put it in reverse and you hear this whomp, whomp. And you say, what is that? And you get out and look and the right rear tire is flat. Oh, with 4 inches of snow. That's when you really say, oh, thank you, Lord, for that flat tire. I know. I mean, we really obey the scripture. Do we not, Ronnie? No, we don't. So anyway, I mean, you know, I'm trying to tell you, we don't understand this book. We don't believe this book and we don't do what this book tells us to do. Do we? Me either. You know, we all have this problem. So anyway, you get that all taken care of. You know, you get the jack out and you jack it up. And of course, your driveway is a little inclined like this, you know, so you don't realize, you know, you're not an engineer or a mechanic or anything else. So you put the jack under the side of the car and you start jacking that thing up. And just as soon as the wheel clears the ground, you forgot to set the emergency brake. So now then it rolls over off of that and falls back on the ground and throws your jack out from under the car. I know you say, oh my goodness, I forgot to set the emergency brake. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that I have an emergency brake. No, that's not what we do. Oh my goodness gracious. So anyway, we go set the emergency brake and we jack it back up again. And this time we're getting it all up there. We got those little rickety jacks underneath the side. And you get the lug nuts off and everything, and you're trying to get the wheel off, and you know you're really having a bad day. And some people will even say, if there's anything else that could go wrong, it probably will go wrong. Have you ever heard people say that? What else could possibly happen? I mean, you know, you think everything in the world's gone wrong, and now then you're sitting there on that ground, changing those lug nuts, trying to slip the tire up on there, and you can't get it up on there because you're not strong enough. So you sit down and put both legs under there, and you pick your legs and pick it up, and you put it on there. And just as you get it on there, before everything settles down, the jack slips again, and now you got both legs under the car, and the tire falls off on your stomach and falls on you and mashes your neck. You're pinned to the ground. Are you beginning to get the idea? That maybe you might have been grumbling a little too much. You wasn't obeying. Now then, you know, we stop and think about that. And of course, there was a deal happened similar to that this last week. There was a young lady ran off of a road in Dallas and hit a tree with her baby in the car with her. And it was off the road enough where that nobody could see her. And so she didn't have a warm enough stuff with her. And so the car, of course, crashed, hit a tree, and it fixed it where it wouldn't run. And then hypothermia set in after she got colder. And you know what happens to you? Once hypothermia sets in, you think you're getting hot instead of cold. You ever experienced that? So if you've never experienced hypothermia, you don't know what you've missed. But anyway, this woman suffered hypothermia with her little baby. And so what she did, they found her and the baby about 100 yards from the car, absolutely with no clothes on either one of them. Both of them are totally nude. Why was they nude? Because she thought she was getting hot instead of cold. And so she took all the clothes off of herself and off of her baby, and then they died in the night. Now then, that's kind of the extreme, isn't it? But it happens all the time. In the course of all this, in all of your trials and tests, what's God trying to do? What's He trying to do there? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He said, whenever these kind of things happen to you, what are you supposed to do? Consider it pure joy. I don't do that very well, do y'all? I'm spoiled, but you know, I got lots of company. I think every one of y'all in this room are spoiled rotten with me. You know that? I just talked to Mary over there a while ago, and she was telling me about how good God is, how she got the job she prayed for, and she's a happy camper. Is that right, Mary? I know. Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is I just tell one part of it, the part that you're so happy with, right? I mean, I'd be happy too. But it didn't happen overnight, did it, Mary? It took some enduring, didn't it, Tony? Yeah, I know we prayed about that job and everything. I mean, they came up for prayer. We prayed about that. And she finally got it. But you notice that she didn't just come up and we pray one time and she walked out and walked right into the perfect job 12 minutes from the house. That didn't happen, did it, Mary? No, it didn't happen. I really believe in my heart, and I may be wrong, but this is my own personal way of thinking. The more joy that we present God when He tests us, the quicker we get out of these trials and tests. Amen. I really think, that, like I say, that if we do it His way, not mine, because mine would be like the car story I told you a while ago, since I've experienced those kind of things, you know, I mean, I've experienced things. Well, I mean, I'll just give you a little story. Just happened just Friday. I need to haul some gravel for the road. And I got a dump truck, but hadn't used it in a year. So the insurance is out. So I had to call the people. Get a 6-month insurance. You know? So they had to fax all that to me. And we started on Thursday and finally got it on Friday. And they said they'd get it to me very the first thing the next morning. Well, they got it to me about noon. You know, but anyway, we got it. And then I took the insurance and I went to the tax office in Denton and got me a license plate. And when I got there, it had always been registered as a farm truck, which saves me about $100 a year. And I only use it on my farm for myself, nobody else. But when I handed them the thing to get the renewal for the farm tag, the guy says, do you have your new certificate that you're certified to be a farmer. I said, when did this come out? He said, last June. You had to have it ever since last June. I said, no, I don't have it, and I ain't got time to get it, so just put it regular truck, and it cost me another $100. But I know I'm supposed to consider everything pure joy. So I said, praise the Lord. And so I thanked the man and everything. I got my insurance and everything. And then I thought, well, I'll come running out here, and I'll go over there now, and I pulled it under the garage, or whatever you want to call it, the lean-to shed that I've got over there. I'd pulled it under there, so it'd been underneath there, almost all of it, the little back of the thing sticking out. But I had to come by and get a battery, charge it up, take it over there and put it on there. Once I got it on there and got it hooked up and everything, I started checking different things, lights and so forth, and a whole bunch of them wouldn't work. And so, of course, in the process of checking all these lights and messing with it, I finally thought, well, I guess I better crank it up to let it run a little while. I'm probably going to have a problem with the battery. Well, I went over there to hit the starter, and it's already too late. It's just, that's all it done. Wouldn't start. So, you know what I did? Jason jumped up and down and said, praise God for a dead battery. I really did. I didn't want to, though. It wasn't in my heart, I'll tell you for sure. I'm still a human being. So I had to put the jumper cables on it and get it hooked up and charge it a little while and got it going. And then I'm there working on this crazy thing, and I can't get half the lights to work. And finally, Mike comes walking up there. He comes and said, what are you doing, Pastor? I said, well, I'm trying to get the lights on this thing working. And so he's helping me, and we're checking some stuff and everything. We're having all kinds of trouble. And then he says, you know, I just wonder, since this is a dump bed, maybe that the everything grounds through those pins. And he said, maybe just sitting here for a year, they've rusted and they're not making contact. I said, won't you back it out? I'm going to raise it up and down a couple of times. And I backed it out and raised it up a couple of times, and all the lights went to working. So... But I finally left yesterday afternoon. When I got through with all that, I thought, okay, I'll run it up to the shop, charge the battery, and get it all ready. And then I'll take my own truck, and I drove down to the inspection place to make sure they could inspect a 2-ton truck. And he said he could. I said, good, I'll go get it. So I went and got it and brought it down there and pulled into the shop. And as I did, he said, do you know you have a diesel leak? I said, no, I did not. And he said, well, they're dripping under here. And I looked, and sure enough, a little drip. I said, I checked it, and I said, no, I think that's motor oil. I said, I don't think that's diesel. I said, that's motor oil. So it's had that little motor oil leak. He said, no. He said, that's diesel. I told him, I said, son, you have got diesel fuel all over you. You've been changing filters on that truck right there, and you have got diesel. I said, you smell like diesel from 10 feet away. So I said, you know, that's oil. No, he said, that's diesel, and I can't do an inspection. So I got in the truck and pulled it back down there and took it back down to the shop. And I just left it down there because I had something else I had to go do. And so I just left it there, and I told Mike, I said, Mike, you get a chance, see if you can find that diesel leak or oil leak, whatever it is, when you have time. Now then, I went away praising the Lord. Now then, I never did grumble, I don't think. Did I, Mike? Yeah, I never did grumble. Okay. I was trying not to grumble at nothing because I know what he said. Amen. Consider all these various trials and tests pure joy. You know, so I want you to stop and think now, and I want you to be honest with me. This is the last week. Now, a few times I have made it, especially, but I've been preparing for this message on, you know, so I'm really, this is close to my heart. So I'm trying to really, really do it God's way. But now, if I'm not studying and not in the Word, how easy is it to have a test, just one, and fail it? Is it pretty easy to fail the test? Yeah, it really is. Now then, if you fail that test, again, this is just my own perspective. If you fail the test, God's going to be really merciful to you, and He's going to let you go through more and more and more tests until you finally pass. You believe that? I believe He's going to put that down there. And so, you know, here's the thing. Why don't we just do it His way the first time around? Instead of getting all upset at somebody or something or a piece of equipment or whatever it is and screaming and fussing and, you know, and sometimes we take it out on people. our loved ones or our own spouse or whatever, sometimes we say something or do something, why don't we just consider everything pure joy? Why not, Kim, since you're sitting on the front row, I'll use you as an example. Let's say I walk in and everything's gone wrong today. Everything's bad. And she says, "Hi, Thurman, how's your day going?" And I said, "Well, it's terrible," you know. You ever seen anybody do anything like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so then if I'm not real careful, and if she's not real careful, in a few minutes, we're going to be, she said, "Well, you'd have no idea what I've been through, too. I've been through a few things myself lately." Now, I know this has never happened to any of y'all but me. Has it happened to you?
Oh, yeah.
What was God doing there? What did he say he was doing there, Kim? He's trying to produce and develop in us faith and patience, right?
Absolutely.
So if we pass our test right up front, what's going to happen? I really think that when the hot water heater, you got up that morning and the cold water, if you had said right off the bat, when that first few drops of cold water hit you, you'd have jumped out of the shower and said, "Praise God, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm ready for it. I don't know what you're doing in me, but I know I need some patience. So, Lord, I thank you for this cold water coming out of this thing." Now, you know, if you didn't praise him and thank him for that, when you got out and had to clean the car, when you opened the door, instead of saying, "Oh, my God, snow all over the car. What kind of deal is this? I should have known everything that could go wrong would go wrong. And this is only the second thing that's happened." You see what I'm saying? Whereas if you walk to the door and say, "Oh, look at that beautiful snow. Isn't that awesome? Let me get my little cleaner and get out there and clean that off the windshield so I can see where I'm going. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful snow." We don't do that. Oh, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. You know, one day when I finally got a hold of that scripture, I used to say, "Lord, give me patience." Oh, many of y'all have said, no. What happens when you pray and ask God to give you something? When Mary, I'll just go to Mary, said she wanted the job. Since Mary wanted a good job, you know, close to home, she had to pray. And then, of course, her and her husband both had to worship the Lord and praise him and thank him for that new job. And it didn't come overnight, did it, Tony? It did not. See, God's going to put you to the test. He's going to see how you're going to handle this. In other words, he's going to see if you're going to grumble and fuss about this not having a job or whatever. He's going to do whatever he has to do to test us, isn't he, Richard?
Yeah.
I guarantee he will test us. And the quicker you learn your lesson and the quicker you get into obedience with him and walk in love with everybody concerned, everybody, you know, it's tough. It ain't easy. But even if somebody does something like I did to Kim a while ago, whenever she said, "Hi, how are you doing, Pastor?" And I just blew up in her face. If she just said, "Wow, Pastor, let me get you a cup of hot tea or something. You really need something to help you out." And she said, "But I love you anyway, even though you screamed at me. Let me fix you some hot tea." In a few minutes, I'm probably going to be okay. I'm going to say, "That girl was completely right. I was completely wrong. Will you please forgive me?" You know, isn't that right?
Absolutely.
So, because love covers how many sins?
Multitudes
of sins. That's absolutely right. Let's see what the next verse says, verse 4. "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and is entire, wanting nothing." That's where I want to be, don't you?
Amen.
Yeah, so he's gonna test us. But that's what he's doing. He tells us why these things happen. Verse 5. "If any of you lack wisdom," now who would that possibly include? I think I need both hands up there. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men." Don't you love that? "He gives it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So anytime that we're going through a trial and test, we need to realize that who's doing it to us? God is. God's testing us. It's not somebody else. It's God. He's developing your faith, which he wants you to be perfect. and want nothing. He wants you to be able to do these things for him. Let's see what verse 6 says. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That gets most of us. You know, I don't know how many years I read that before it became a reality to me. And the way I remember years ago, when I was still married to Betty, when she was still alive, before she got killed, when I stepped over into the world of healing, when I stepped into that, and I began to learn the power in my tongue, I told her one day, she came down with the flu, and she was having all kinds of sneezing. I said, let me pray for you. So I prayed for her, and she said, well, this is just something we get, and we just have to go through this. I told her, no, I've learned that's not true. That's not what's written. The Lord says in His Word, He's already bore our sickness and removed our disease. So by His stripes, we are healed. So I said, you know, when that becomes a revelation to you, when that really does become a revelation to you, I said, you know, you'll be healed when I pray for you. And she said, honey, I think you've lost it. I think you're carrying this faith stuff too far. Well, I said, let me pray for you. She said, no, that's okay. I'll get it done all by myself. I don't need any help. Now, see, that's the way a lot of us are. Well, she wouldn't let me pray for her. So for about 3 months, she was sick. She was sick with the flu for 3 months. Finally, one day I told her, I said, you know, honey, please, you know, submit yourself, humble yourself before God and let me pray for you. And I said, God will take the sickness away. I said, you notice you haven't seen me sick. She said, well, when I first saw you, you told me that. You told me you were not going to be sick. And so she said, I want you to promise you'll forgive me for this. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, I want you to promise you'll forgive me. I said, well, okay, I forgive you. What's the deal? She said, after you begin to tell me and said, you know, you always seem like you know more than everybody else about this. So she said, you know, I thought he's not right. So she said, I would wait till you go to sleep. I would get right in your face and breathe in your face. And she said, you never got sick. So she said, my disease is not catching to you. So she said, obviously, you know something I don't know. Isn't it amazing what people will do to each other, those they love? You know, so she tried her best to make me sick. And she said, I could not make you sick. Well, now, who was protecting me? Of course, God was. He knew where my heart was about healing, right? He knew that I realized that if I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that the Father raised Jesus from the dead, I'm sozoed. So if I'm sozoed, I'm healed. And so I ain't going to be sick. There ain't nothing can make me sick. And so, but she just didn't get it. So finally, after 3 months of suffering, she said, I will have to say, you've learned something I don't know. So she said, okay, I submit to you as my husband, and I want you to pray for me for my complete healing. And I prayed for her that evening, and the next morning she woke up with a totally clear head, totally, completely healed. Isn't it amazing what happens when we get a hold of it is written? You know, see, that's why so many people don't ever get well. It's because they will not submit themselves to God and believe Him 100%. He's the one that's doing this, just like the Scripture says here. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7. Let's see what verse 7 says. Verse 7. For let not that person think he should receive anything from the Lord. Now then, verse 8, let's see what verse 8 says, and then we'll go back and talk about that. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, when you trust in the Lord, you got to trust in Him and Him alone. You know, you can't trust in Him and the world. And that's another place where that most of us lose it. You know, I remember the time that And as I've told some of y'all, you know, that when I was working as an engineer, I got burned real bad on my left leg. And here a few years ago, I had a flare-up of that second, third degree burns on my left leg. And my leg looked like it was on fire. I mean, it looked awful. And when Cheryl saw it, you know, she said, "Oh, my goodness gracious." She said, "You got to get back in that bed, elevate your feet. I got to call a doctor." And I said, no. I said, "This is just a test. Do you see this? This is a test." And I said, "I'm going to stand on God's word." And so anyway, she went ahead and called this friend of ours that is a doctor. And he came out and he looked at me and said, "Thurman, you have a blood clot in your left leg, maybe several of them." And he said, "If one of those were to turn loose, it could go to your heart and you could be dead in a heartbeat." I said, "Okay." So he said, "I know that you need surgery right now." But he said, "I got a feeling since you're a man of faith, you ain't going to let me do surgery." I said, "You're absolutely right. I'm going to trust Jesus and Jesus alone." Now, I'm not supposed to trust the world, right? I'm supposed to trust Jesus. And so I prayed over my leg that night. Cheryl prayed over my leg that night. And I went back to bed. And the next morning I got up. And Cheryl, well, she woke up too when I woke up. And I was going to do something that day. And she said, "What's your leg look like?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I hadn't looked at it." She said, "Well, let me see it." So she got up and turned the light on. She said, "Oh, my goodness, it's not any better. It's terrible." She said, "Get back in that bed. You can't go to work." I said, "No." I said, "I have prayed, I have believed, and I'm not double-minded. So I believe I'm healed." I said, "Now, I don't go by what I see. I don't go by what I feel. I go by what is written." And so she said, "But, honey, you can't go." I said, no, just get out of my way." I said, "I'm fixing to put my clothes on, and I'm going to work." I said, "Sick people stay in bed, and well people go to work." So I said, "I'm well." She said, "But look at you're not well." I said, "But again, I can't go by what I see. I go by He bore my sickness and removed my disease. Now, if Jesus bore my sickness and removed my disease, He says, when I ask, I got to ask in faith. But how much wavering?
None.
None whatsoever. So much against her will, I got up and put on my clothes and told her I'm going to work. I'll see you later on this afternoon. Well, when I got back home, 5 or 6 o'clock that afternoon, 7, whatever time it was, boy, as soon as she saw me, she said, "How's your leg?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I hadn't looked at it." And I said, "But I know it's okay. You know, I know it's okay because the Word says it's okay. I'm believing God with no doubt in my heart." She said, "Can I see it?" I said, "Yes." And so I pulled my britches leg up and she pulled my shoe off and everything. And she looked at my leg and she says, "It's perfect. There's not a red spot on it nowhere." Now, who do you think healed my leg during the day? The Lord did. Of course He did. Now, I have not had a problem with that since. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I have not had a problem with that. Why does He put those kind of tests in our path? To develop our faith and our patience, right? Now then, when you're looking at something that a doctor just tells you could end in fact, my son, Cheryl even told my son about my leg when that happened. And he called one of his friends he went to school with that is now a surgeon. And he told him what I had. And he told Tim what it's called. I forget what it's called. But anyway, it's blood clots in your leg. And Tim says, "What could be the results?" He said, "Well, Tim, I hate to tell you this about your dad, but said he'll just go to sleep one afternoon and he'll not wake up. That's how easy it is." So Tim was very concerned. I said, "Son, you don't have to be concerned." I said, "You know, if I do go to bed one evening and don't wake up, I'm going to be in heaven, so it ain't like it's a big deal." You know, I said, "The only problem you'll have is sorting out all my equipment, trying to figure out what you're going to do with all this stuff that you don't know nothing to do about." You know, Tim's not an engineer. He's not a mechanic. And so I have got tons of equipment and tools and everything else and trucks and tractors. And Cheryl gave me a card the other day for my birthday when I had my 76th birthday. She said, "What do you buy a man that has absolutely no need for nothing?" You know, she said, "He has everything his heart's desire." And so I do. You know, I do have everything my heart desire. You know, so if I have everything my heart desire, what do I need? No. Nothing, absolutely nothing. I mean, God has provided everything I need. So I don't need anything. I mean, if I got a car to drive, and if I don't have a car to drive, it still must be okay. I can walk, right, Bill? I got two good legs, but, you know, I think about, there was a a man called me this week and wanted me to pray for a little girl. I think the little girl was 9 or 10 years old. She was in Israel, and somebody threw some kind of a small hand grenade or whatever into the car window, and it went right down on the floor right between her feet, and it went off. Now, if you think you're having a bad day today, you ain't having a bad day at all, are you? No, I ain't having a bad day at all. Not at all. Just think, I can't even imagine a big firecracker going off in my hand. But a small bomb, somebody threw it through the window, and it falls down in the floorboard right between my feet, and then you look at that thing, and then all of a sudden, it explodes. And your feet are right there. It done serious damage to this poor 10-year-old child. Can you imagine that? Now, I don't like to have to undergo those kind of trials and tests, but I still know who's in control. God is in control. And I know that we can pray, and Cheryl and I last night, we prayed for this poor little thing. We asked the Lord to be merciful to him and heal the little child, take away the pain and do all kinds of things. If we pray, we can pray in faith, then what can God do with that child? He can do anything he wants to do. He can heal that child. He can take away the pain. He can do anything. But that's why God is doing these kind of things through you and me right now to teach us how to be overcomers, yeah, to teach us how to walk in faith, to teach us how to be patient when we pray in faith and it doesn't appear to happen right then. Like I keep going back to Mary over here. When Mary and Tony came up and we prayed, as we've said before, the job didn't happen overnight, did it, Tony? How long did it take? About a year? Yeah, about a year. But now she's got the job. She was so happy a while ago. She's got the job she wants, and she said it's only 12 minutes from the house. Now, see, you can't beat that, right? And so now then it's really easy to say, God is so good. He answered my prayer. Now then, if we had asked that 10 months ago, she'd have probably said, well, God's really good, but I wish he'd hurry up. But he don't do things according to mine and your time schedule, does he, Mary? He does it according to his time period and his time frame, and he makes it work. Now then, from here, I want us to go, after we've talked about these first 8 verses, I want us to go to James chapter 3, start with verse 1 in the NLT. James chapter 3, and I want to show you what this says, James 3, 1. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for those who teach will be judged more strictly. Did you know that was in the Bible? Not many of you should be teachers. You know, okay, now let me tell you what I thought. I've thought this several times. I thought, Lord, I guess I need to find a new job. Because guess what? If I make a mistake, guess who gets hit quickly? Me. Yeah. I've heard Cheryl say this many times, God don't put up with much from me and her. And he doesn't. He really does not. Is that what the scripture says, Bill? That's what it says. You know, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers. Now, I think about when I was asked to teach a Sunday school class over at Lakeland Baptist Church. Brother Wayne Galbraith, the church administrator, came to me and said, Thurman, I've been praying for an adult couples teacher, and your name keeps coming up. I said, well, Brother Wayne, if my name keeps coming up, I thought this God that we're supposed to serve doesn't ever make a mistake. I said, if my name's coming up, he made a mistake. He said, no, I don't think so. He said, I want you to go home and pray about this. And so I finally did. And as I prayed about this, I finally made this decision. I said, God, somebody asked me the other day who the Apostle Paul was, and I didn't know who he was. The Apostle Paul? And I didn't know who he was? How grounded was I in the Word of God? Not very well. Not very well. That's right. All of you that know who Paul was, some of you may be just like me. You say, well, I don't know who Paul is either. But I didn't know who Paul was. I had no idea what was in the Word. And so guess what happened? to teach a 45-minute Sunday school class, I would spend anywhere from 5 to 15 hours studying and preparing to teach a 45-minute Sunday school class. Now, the people coming to my class might not have learned very much, but guess who did? I did. Yeah, God put me to the test, and he had a plan for me way down the road that I didn't even know about. But he knew. And so he knew what he was doing. Now, at any time in there, I could have said, that's it, God, I'm fed up with all this nonsense. I can't handle this. I'm just going to quit. I'm not going to be a teacher. And I'm going to tell you for sure, I would not be here today. I would already be dead. You know, God had a plan, and if you don't produce fruit for the kingdom, then he takes you away. And that's something. Yeah. But he says that. Okay, let's go to verse 2. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. Is that true? Wow. I started to say I'd like to be able to stand up here and say, you know, all y'all make mistakes, but me, I don't make any. But I've already told you a whole bunch of them today, so I can't say that, can I? Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongue. Oh, my goodness. If we could control our tongue, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you in this room have a tongue in your mouth? Let me ask you what. Do you know that it's absolutely impossible to control that thing? Do you know that thing? Well, we're going to read about it. Let's go to verse 3. Okay. Okay, hold it just a minute. But hold it. Let me get you a mic so that everybody can hear what you're saying. Okay, praise the Lord.
You know, in the Word, it said, where Jesus said, be ye perfect as my Father in heaven. Well, I looked that word up, perfect, up, and the meaning of it in Greek is mature. Yeah, now, right. A while ago, I didn't say anything when we were in 1 John 3, but it uses that word perfect. But if you interject and use the word mature, that sets a different type of a standard for the meaning behind it. And the same thing applies just back up here to this, where the word was perfect again. And I don't know this to be a fact, but I believe if we looked up the word perfect each time in the King James, in the Greek, it would use the word mature.
Yeah, more than likely that's true. Yeah.
And it makes it sound a lot easier to accomplish because we're not perfect. Only Jesus was perfect,
right.
Perfect in that sense.
Okay. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, No two ways about it. The more you study the Word and the more time you spend with God in the Word, the greater will become your knowledge and more He will show you. So there's no two ways about it. He says, we can make large horses go wherever we want them, means by the, you know, a small bit in their mouth. Verse 4. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. Verse 5. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. It is a tiny spark, and it can set a great forest on fire. You know, I've made this statement a lot of times over the years teaching about the tongue. And if you've never listened to the teaching, the tongue, which is 3 CDs, this little thing that's 1 inch below your nose is either your best friend or your worst enemy. One of the two. And, you know, I want you to know that if you're going to try to control that tongue, it's impossible. You're fighting a battle that's impossible. I just like when Dave told the story on me on the healing school the other day about how when I came to the Lord, when I was a young man working as a mechanic in a mechanic shop, there were several other men worked in there, and some of them were young like me and some of them were much older, but most of them had a foul mouth. And so, you know, being one of the guys, you know, so many of them used different foul languages. Well, I kind of picked up some of it. And then the Holy Spirit began to convict me that what I was doing was wrong. And so when he began to convict me, I was really a son of God. Now, whether the rest of those boys in there were sons of God, I don't know. That's between God and them. They said they were saved, but they didn't produce any fruit. So anyway, I looked at this thinking, I know this is wrong. So just like this time of year we got right now in January, the New Year's resolutions that everybody makes, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution this year. I'm going to stop using those foul words. I'm going to do this. Well, I failed miserably. It didn't work. But I was trying to do it on my own self, not realizing that this tongue that's in my mouth, I cannot control this tongue. And so the next year, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, it's obvious I can't do this. But I know you can do this. So I'm asking you to take away my foul language. I don't want it. And guess what happened? He took it away. I don't have any foul language. I mean, I can hurt myself. I can do anything. And those words are not there no more. You know, and of course, Mike, he will understand this because he being a mechanic, I was a mechanic. And I think of the number of times I took an old wire brush in a vat and I would, you know, we didn't have some of the fancy stuff that like he's got today to clean parts. So we had to do it by hand. And so I'd take a cylinder head, an old crusty, dirty head and set it over in this vat with a long bristle brush and the water, the cleaner solution running on it. And I'm in there scrubbing. And I could get that thing pretty clean. You know, I could get it to look pretty good. And so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, take the wire brush of the Holy Spirit. Take that wire brush of the Holy Spirit and go in my heart and scrub my heart with the Holy Spirit. And I want it to be clean, perfect, with no foul words left. And he did. I thanked him for doing it. And from that day forward, I don't have a problem with profanity no more. It went away. But I didn't do it. I tried and I failed. But whenever I turned it over to the Lord, I realized when he says, no man can tame the tongue. So if the scripture says no man can tame the tongue, why do I waste my time? It's obvious I can't do it. It says, that's verse 6. Let's see what it says, verse 6. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness. Wow, corrupting your entire body. Now wait, think about what that's saying. Your tongue can corrupt your entire body. In other words, do you believe that what you say can make you sick? Yes, it can. It absolutely can. Now then, if you're getting rid of all of your wickedness, you're getting rid of your foul speech, and when I say foul speech, this is what I'm talking about. I'm sick. I feel terrible. I just can't go to work today. I'm hurting all over. That's not what the Word says about you. That's not submitting to God and resisting the enemy and getting up and go do something. You say, I may feel terrible today, but it is written, I am healed. And you're speaking this out loud with your tongue. I am healed because it says right there. And you quote it. Jesus, Matthew 8:17. Jesus bore my sickness and removed my disease. If Jesus bore my sickness and removed my disease, then praise God, I don't have it. He has it. I don't have it. So I'm well and I'm going to work today. Now, where's that coming from? Your tongue. Now then, that's going to heal your body because your body is going to respond to your tongue. I've seen this happen so many times. And people just don't realize, you know, that what you say is what you're going to have. If you go around saying, I'm sick, I'm going to be sick, then I guarantee you, you're going to be sick and you're going to be miserable till you get a hold of it. And if you don't get a hold of it and don't believe what this says, there's no telling how long it's going to take. It says, it is a whole world of wickedness. It is corrupting your entire body. It can set your world, your whole life on fire. It is set on fire by hell itself. That's a pretty awesome statement, isn't it? If we listen to the enemy, he will destroy us. Because he's so good at what he does because God made him. I mean, he is so good at what he does. But you and I have got to learn how to be better. We've got to be better at what we do than the enemy, so we can beat him, so we can confess with our mouth, "Lord, thank you, Lord, it's written." In other words, you have no idea how many times over the years with people with a healing class, when I would ask people, "What's wrong with you?" And they will say, "Well, I have diabetes. I'm on insulin." And all of a sudden, I see every once in a while somebody will come up, they have their list. 10, 12, 15 things on the list. This is what's wrong with me. I said, "Do you have any idea what the Word says about you?" "Well, no." I said, "Well, that's what's wrong. Because you're going by what you feel and see instead of what the Word says, that's why you're sick." I said, "If you believe God's Word with no doubt in your heart, and you start confessing with your tongue and believing with your heart," I said, "God will heal you." And in the last 30 years, couldn't even begin to tell you the number of people that I've seen healed with that process. Over and over and over. How do we get it done? With your tongue. Do you pray with your tongue?
Yes.
And then you believe with your heart.
Amen.
When you speak with your tongue, who would ever dream that scripture, what is it, Proverbs 18:21, that says, life and death is in the power of your tongue.
Amen.
And every person shall eat the fruit of their tongue. So if you go around saying, "I'm sick, I feel bad, I can't do anything, you know, I just can't do it, you know, I'm too weak," and if that's the confession that comes out of your mouth, the scripture right there tells us that your tongue is it's something else, isn't it? Your mouth, "Hey, praise God, I'm healed. The Word of God says I'm healed, I'm delivered." In other words, you hear people tell their children, you know, "You'll never be able to do that." You know, I mean, don't you hear that? Have you heard those kind of things? Sure. Yeah, I've heard that many times. But, you know, every dad, that's why God told us, every dad should bless their children at least once a week. Speak a blessing over your children. Lay your hands on your children and bless them in the name of Jesus. "Lord, bless my children that they will have long life, good health, and make them prosperous and successful. My children are children of God, and there's nothing impossible with my children. They can do all things." Now, if your children grow up hearing you say those kind of things, guess with your tongue, guess what they're going to become? Awesome men and women of God, I can guarantee you. If all they've heard from daddy is that, you know, "You can do anything you want to, son. You can be whatever you want to be in life. You know, you're a son or daughter of God. There ain't nothing impossible with you." If they grow up hearing daddy make those kind of statements, you'll raise children that there'll be nothing impossible with those kids. Nothing. But if you go around saying, "Oh, you can't do that. You know, I wish you'd be smart like your little sister. You know, she knows how to do things, but you don't know how to do nothing. You're a dummy." And you hear people talk like that. Wow. They don't realize the power in their tongue. They've never read these scriptures. Wow. It'll ruin your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire. It is set on fire by hell itself. If your tongue is set on fire by hell itself, I believe I'd like to stay a long way from it, wouldn't you? I don't want nothing to do with a tongue that's set on fire by hell. Okay, verse 7. Reptiles, we can do anything. Verse 8, let's see what else it says there. Verse 8. But no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. And just think, and you got that thing where? I don't really necessarily like that, do you? You know, I think we might have our work cut out for us just controlling the tongue, don't you? I really think that no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil and is full of deadly poison. And we got that thing in our mouth. You know, I used to have that thing in my mouth. I was one of those. But after I asked the Lord to cleanse and purify my tongue, that tongue went away. Now then, does that tongue still do things it's not supposed to? Yeah, it does. It really does. I say things sometimes that I shouldn't say, but you know, I guess I... Has anybody in here ever done anything like that besides me, or I'm the only one that ever done that? Some of y'all done that too? Okay, just as long as we all know we're all people. Thank God for Jesus. Okay. Verse 9. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. How in the world could we do that? How could we praise God? We can do that real easy, can't we? We can praise the Lord just like a while ago Mary was praising the Lord. Her and Tony was praising the Lord because she got the job she wanted. That's we're praising the Lord with our tongue, right? Now then, how easy would it be for us to use that tongue in a way that's not praising? It'd be very easy, wouldn't it? All we got to do is say something negative. You know, I was listening to this woman, Caroline Leaf, this last week, if you've listened to her. I had no idea. Well, one thing she said, she had so many things, I couldn't even begin to remember everything by no means, but she made a statement that just stuck with me. She said, the brain that you have in your head has enough ability within it under normal conditions to remember everything you will see and hear for the next 3 million years. 3 million years. Now, you think you understand God? And here's the thing, she said, that if you use your brain, your mind is the software that runs your brain. The brain's a little piece of tissue in there that probably weighs a half a pound or whatever it is, 3/4 of a pound. And when you die, that thing dies too. But your mind does not die. Your mind is spiritual, and it stays with you forever. You know, if that wasn't true, when you died, you would not be able to remember anything. But when you die and you go to heaven, you know everybody. I mean, you still can see and hear. We got scriptures that teaches us when a man dies, he opens his eyes in flaming torment. He looks across and he sees over there. He sees Father Abraham over there. We know he can see and hear and talk and everything. So we know that you're still conscious even after you die. But when she said that the brain was capable of remembering everything you could see and hear for 3 million years, and then if you use it and you continue to learn things, the more you learn, the greater it develops, and the more it develops until it will become infinite. But did God say he made us in his likeness and his image? Is his brain and mind infinite? Yes, there's no limit to God, is there? None whatsoever. So if he can do all that with a man, I mean, I try sometimes to grasp just a little bit of who God really is, but I can't even touch it. I can't even touch the magnificence of who he is. How he can make us to think. He put something up here between our ears and behind our eyes that, just think, I can think of places I've been. I can think of things when I went to Europe 30 and 40 years ago. And then here a while back, I saw a picture of one of the places I stood right on the bank right there. And I thought, hey, I've been right there. I've stood right there and looked at that Eiffel Tower right there. I've been there. I've crawled up that Eiffel Tower. 40 years ago, that picture came back. It was still there. It's been there all the time. But everything we say and everything we see is in there. You know, my dad died at 79. But what amazed me about the mind and the brain, my dad would be laying there that last week of his life. He didn't feel well, so he kind of stayed in bed that last week. He could be sitting there talking to me and telling me about old Joe, you know, or Bob or Dan or whatever back in 1933, you know, whenever I was driving a truck for General Crude Oil, and we were out in Loop, Texas, or wherever, and we're driving a white truck that had no lights on it. You know, there was no such thing as electric lights on trucks back in those days. We only could drive till the sun went down, then we had to stop and wait for the next morning till the lights come. And he could tell me the roads he went and all kinds of places. And I thought, wow, he's seeing all it. But I could sit there and tell Dad something. I'd say, Dad, would you like a little snack to eat? Well, yeah, I might like a cup of coffee. So I run down to get him a cup of coffee and come back in. I said, here's your coffee. He said, coffee? Did I ask for that? He couldn't remember short-term memory. It was gone. But long-term memory, stuff he had in there 80 years ago, was still in there. Y'all know what I mean. You've seen that? Especially if you're involved with people, older people, you know, that pass away and things, you probably have seen that same thing yourself. I'm sure you've seen things like that in your place, haven't you, Mary? Where that people, they just, like, the stuff comes up. It's in that brain. And how we can do that? The brain is beyond, and the mind is beyond me. But I know the one who made it. I know the one who keeps it going. But it praises our Lord and our Father. And sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. When we say something negative, you don't have to use a curse word to curse God. You can just say, I'm sick. Think about this. I'm sick. I don't feel good. And you're absolutely cursing God. Because he said in his word that he bore your sickness and removes your disease. Is that right? So if Jesus says, I bore your sickness and I removed your disease, that should be what comes out of our mouth. But let me tell you, what we do, we speak out of our mouth the circumstance that's around us. Is that true? I mean, you know, I'll ask you a question. What do you think about, or how do you feel? Many of you, excuse me, many of you have asked me, some of you, you know, how do you feel, Thurman? Anymore, almost nobody asked me that. But at first, when I first meet people, they'll say, how do you feel today? I say, absolutely, magnificently, wonderfully, perfect, but I am rapidly improving. Now, I've had people all over the place whenever I walk in, somebody say, hi, Mr. Scrivener, how are you doing? I said, absolutely, fantastically, perfect. They look at me and say, wow, you really feel that good? I said, oh, no, but I felt that good a few minutes ago, but I said, now I'm rapidly improving. They said, how in the world can you be rapidly improving over something like that? I said, because I know Jesus. Do you know him? And it'll open the door for you to talk to him about Jesus, won't it, Bill? Yep. Yeah. And you can talk to him. And whenever they find out that you got something that works that good, especially if they're men, hard-nosed men that's not interested in going to church or nothing else, if you can show them you've learned something that can do something for them that makes life better, they're willing to listen. They're willing to listen. You know, I mean, if you heard somebody say, if I had heard when I was 20 years old, if I had heard somebody say when I was 20 years of age, if you'll do what I tell you out of God's word, I guarantee you won't never have another sick day. You know, that would have whetted my appetite and I'd have wanted to know what you had to say. But I never heard anybody say that. Nobody, everybody I knew got sick every once in a while. I didn't know anybody growing up that knew how to walk by faith. Nobody. Of course, there wasn't no television or nothing back in those days. But I didn't know how to walk by faith. I didn't know what the word says, you know, until God put me in with the Sunday school class over at Lakeland and had me start teaching. It took me years and years and years and years of study to get a hold of these things. And then it became so awesome what was available to me. I thought, this can't be right, because surely, I mean, that's just like the first time I used James 5, 14, 15, and 16, where the Lord says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. The first time I read that to a man, that man looked at me and he said, now, Thurman, I've been in church all my life. I never heard that verse, never. He said, if something that powerful worked today, somebody would have told us that. Well, it does look like it, doesn't it? But if it's in God's word, will it work? Yes, it will. It'll only work if you come to him in total faith with no doubt in your heart. That's why it works. But, you know, I mean, if somebody had told me that verse was in there when I was 20 years old, I'd have probably been just like this guy was. If that works, then that means that if I'm a Christian and I come down with some kind of a problem, or if I'm sick or whatever, then I could go get a couple of elders at the church. They could lay hands on me and anoint me with oil and pray for me, and I should get well. Is that right?
Amen.
Yeah. And it does work. We have done it here. We've done it lots of places. But it's just amazing that that Catholic church down in Brenham, or College, Bryan College Station, that I went to speak at, that pastor, whatever you called them, priest or whatever in the Catholic church, when he heard about the healing of his good friend out in Corpus Christi, he wanted me to come and speak in his church. It was a Catholic church. I went there and I talked to him about these things, and when I talked to him about James 5:14, he was all ears. He said, I have done that many times in this church, and I've never seen anybody healed in this church. But we use that verse. But he said, after listening to you speak about how we got to do it in total faith, he said, that opened a whole new world. He said, this is why I always prayed over that verse. Father, if it be your will, heal brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. And said, it never worked. But he said, you can be assured, I will take that word, if it be your will, out. I will throw it away, and I will pray the prayer of faith. And when he started doing that, several times he did it, he called me and said, it worked, Brother Thurman. Praise God, it worked. Now, does God's word work when you do it his way?
Amen.
Yes, it always works when you do it his way. Wow. Okay, let's go to verse 10. And so blessing and cursing come from out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Would you think it would be right to bless and curse with the same mouth, the same tongue? I think the Lord would be very pleased with us if we only spoke blessings out of our mouth. Don't you?
Amen.
I really think that's what he's trying to do. He wants us to learn to speak blessings only. Okay, verse 11. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? No, you can't do that, can you? Not at all. So, okay, verse 12. Does a fig tree produce olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. That's for sure. That can't happen. Okay, verse 13. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Now, if any man lacks wisdom, where does he get it? He goes to God. You always ask the Lord for this wisdom. Verse 14. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition, do we have that problem? Yeah, we really do. He says, don't do that. Get rid of that stuff. Verse 15, let's see what verse 15 says. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Wow, verse 16. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. Do you want that in your house? So what do we need to do? We need to get rid of that, don't we? We need to make sure that we're walking in love. That's the only way you can beat this, is walk in love. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. You know, if evil of every kind was in my house, I believe I would do whatever I had to do to get rid of it. I don't want it, do you? I do not want it. I don't want that in my house. It's not going to be in my life. I'm not going to let that beast do that to me. With God's help, now I realize I can't do this on my own, but with him, nothing's impossible. 17. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. Now, we don't do that well, do we? Do we yield to others easily? No, I want it my way. If you don't do it my way, I'm not going to do nothing for you. That's the way we are. Is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Verse 18. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace, and they will reap a harvest of righteousness. The tongue, the most powerful little critter in your mouth. It can either make you sick or even kill you. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Need to get rid of bitterness, strife, jealousy, and walk in love. If we walk in love, and it's going to be easy, ladies and gentlemen, there ain't no problem. Everybody knows it's easy to walk in love. There's never no trials and tests on walking in love. Is there? Oh, there is. But can we beat it? Yes. With God's help, if we'll think what we're saying and doing, if we'll think and not get bitter, if we'll think, but you got to think. You got to turn on your brain and you got to think and you got to get outside of yourself. If you're living inside yourself, you can't do this. Self will always try to rule everything around you and everything around them. It will do its best to be in control. And that comes from the devil. That comes from the devil. The scripture says it does. So we don't want nothing to do with that critter, do we? Father, I thank you and praise you for your word. I thank you that you're the mighty God. I thank you that you're the King of kings and Lord of lords. I thank you for this word, the word of God that we have every day. We can study this book, we can read it. And then, Lord, I ask you to put your Holy Spirit in there to help us to retain it, to hear what you're saying and then walk in that love where you want us to walk so we can be that faith-walking person. We can be that overcomer where we can be about your business. And we praise you and thank you for being the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And, Lord, may you bless us this week. As we go forth this week, I ask you to use us mightily for your kingdom. How great it is, Lord, to know you, to see your glory, to walk. If we call on you, you will direct our paths. You will be in control of us. And Lord, that we know we can't do this on our own. That's why Jesus had to come. So we're turning ourselves over to you so you can take control of our hearts and you will cleanse and purify our hearts and our tongues, because you say what comes from our heart comes out of our tongue or our mouth. So we ask you to cleanse and purify the heart so that everything that comes out of the heart will be clean and pure, so there will be no cursing anybody that comes out of our tongue, but only blessing. Now, Lord, I thank you and praise you for blessing us. And as we speak blessings on other people, you said in your word that if we will speak a blessing, then we will inherit a blessing. So, Lord, we want to be blessed and not cursed, because we are your sons and daughters. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, for doing these things for us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Now then, if you don't know, all the media is free. Take anything you want. If you need to be prayed for, they will be, or I will be here at the front. So just come and see one of us, and we will be happy to pray for your need. Thank you for coming, and we ask you to come back again next Sunday, and we'll have another message. And whatever you do this week, oh, I got to tell you this great news. I got an email from a young man this week that said that he has been listening to my teaching and he's been inspired to talk to people about Jesus. And this last week, because of what I do and what I taught him, he said, because of what you do, he said, I was able to talk to two men this week and led both of them to Christ. And so praise the Lord. He said, I thought you'd be happy to hear that. I said, man, I am happy to hear that. I read that email. I thought, Lord, that's what we're all about right there, getting people saved. Because if they don't get anything else but saved, one day when they get into the kingdom, they will be very grateful, won't they?
Amen.
They will be grateful. So praise the Lord. So this week, if you can, go out and let these words inspire you so that you'll be able to teach somebody else about the kingdom of God and get them into the kingdom. And then stay in the Word yourself and get strong and let the Holy Spirit become the controller of your tongue so that only blessings will come out of your mouth. So praise the Lord. Okay, you're dismissed. Praise the Lord.